here in Ezekiel chapter 48. We're going to read from verse 30 to verse 35. Ezekiel 48, 30 to 35, it says this. These are the exits of the city, on the north side measuring 4,500 cubits. The gates of the city shall be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates northward, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, and one gate for Levi. On the east side, 4,500 cubits, three gates. One gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, one gate for Dan. On the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates. One gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, one gate for Zebulun. On the west side, 4,500 cubits with their three gates. One gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, and one gate for Naphtali. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of that city, of the city from that day, shall be Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Speak clearly. Let us understand what Jehovah Shema means, what the Lord is there means. Help us to draw closer to you as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is no accident. Many people saw it as such. As I was preparing for this message, I say, Lord, this is it's not a different message, but I think my approach to this message is a little different from approaches to other message where I have 4 or 5 points and everybody's able to follow along. And you will still be able to follow along, but there are not 4 or 5 points to this message. When I showed up today, let me just say this. Thank you, Joe, Tom, Wayne, James, DeMar Dre, and then later Gina, Desiree, and Deja, and Juliet. I'm trying to remember all the names that were, and Denise as well. We kind of just went with the flow of what happened. Today, the community center was not open till about 9:25 or so. And so we said, okay, well, we'll do what the Lord says. And so for many people, it seemed as though that was something that was unfolding in real time. To me, I didn't know it would happen, but I knew God was at the helm because of the message today. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shema. Don't need the sound system. Don't need the TV screens. Don't need the piano. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shema. Now the prophet Ezekiel's prophecy, it includes the restoration of the temple. You'll find that in the last few chapters of Ezekiel's book, the restored temple, the restored land, and here we talk just a little bit about the gates of a restored city. And so what I'd like to share with you is God is at the helm of your restoration. He is, and God's people had abandoned him. They served other gods, and you know that he sent prophets, and he would send prophets to encourage them to repent, to encourage them to turn their hearts back toward God. But in the end, God allowed them to be captured by the world power nations of that time. But God had always promised, but I'm going to bring you back. But I'm going to bring you back. But I'm going to bring you back. See, God's promise was to completely restore them, to completely restore his people, to completely restore his land, to completely restore the temple, to completely restore the city. And we know that Nehemiah went back and rebuilt the walls, and Ezra went back to rebuild the temple, but that's not the complete restoration that God was talking about. He's talking about a future restoration. And what's interesting about that city, it will be named Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Now, rather than discuss the details of this prophecy, rather than talking about what happened in the past, I would rather focus on Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Is that okay if we do that? See, what's interesting about God is he is omnipresent. Say that with me, omnipresent. What that means is God is never nowhere and always everywhere. See, that's the way to say it. God is, he's never nowhere, but he's always everywhere. He is ever present. He is always there. Psalm number 139, verse 7 through 10 says this, "Where can I go from your spirit?" the psalmist is asking. And he says, "Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take wings on the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Did you know we can't run from God? Did you know that? Although many people, including myself back in the day, made it a habit trying to run from God, but you cannot run from God because he is always there. He is ever present. He is our God, and he is omnipresent, everywhere, at all times. So because God is omnipresent, everywhere, at all times, we can't hide from him. So in that general sense, he's everywhere. However, on a personal level, very few people experience the presence of God. See, he may be everywhere, but on a personal level, very few people experience the presence of God. I like what Psalm number 140, verse 13 says. It says this, "The righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." I would say, what does it say? But I know that you don't have the screens up here today. Amen. But that's what he says. He says, "The righteous shall dwell in your presence." Well, you say, well, Pastor Will, God is everywhere. But yeah, God is everywhere. But not everyone dwells in his presence. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. See, let me ask this question, or these series of questions. Are we dwelling in his presence? Are we visiting with him on a regular basis? Are we communing with God? Do we experience complete fellowship with God? See, each of those questions have to do with us meeting God where he is, dwelling in his presence. Oftentimes, we want God to come with us. Oh, Lord, help me here. Oh, Lord, do this for me there. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And you know what? God is everywhere, but he desires that we would go before him in his presence. Being conscious of God is not the same as being in his presence. Some people say, oh, yeah, I know God, but are you in his presence? Are you in the secret place? Are you in the quiet place? Are you pulling away from everything to spend time with God in his presence? Jesus spent countless hours, some of you know, away from people in the presence of the Lord. Oftentimes you'll see in the scriptures where early in the morning, he was in the presence of the Father. He would pull away from those that he was healing, from those that he's teaching, from those his disciples, and he would pull away from everything, and he would spend time in the presence of the Father. I like what Psalm number 16, verse 11 says, "And I thank the Lord for the girls reading Psalm number 16. Pastor Will didn't give them that psalm to read. Let me just take this station break. I just want to let you all know that the Spirit of the Lord dwells in this place. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in this place. The Lord is guiding. I never gave them that passage to read, and here they're right on track with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. They said Psalm number 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Where? In his presence. King David was familiar with being in the presence of the Lord. Some of you might remember that. After sinning, committing adultery, having a man killed, in full contrition and repentance, he wrote these words in Psalm number 51, verse 11. Do not cast me from your presence. See, what he was concerned about was, Lord, forgive me, but don't take me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And some people try to develop a doctrine that God will take his Holy Spirit. No, what the psalmist is saying, he's saying, Lord, of all things, you can do what you want, but don't take your presence from me. I want to stay in your presence. So, don't send me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. I like the New Century Version says it like this. Do not send me away from you or take your Holy Spirit away from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation. Keep me strong by giving me a willing spirit. It's all about being in the presence of God. I am so glad we didn't have a piano this morning. Even though I did everything I could to get that thing working, Joe could tell you, every time we get in, we just plug it in and turn it on, and it's working, right? Today, it is not working. I say, okay, God, I know what you're doing, because it's about your presence. And if I need a piano to help me get in the presence of the Lord, something is wrong. If I need an organ to help me get in the presence of the Lord, something is missing. I should be able to go bare before my maker, before my king, and go before his presence and worship him because of who he is. Not because that organ is in the key of C now, and that's my key. Oh, yeah, I can hoop now. I can worship now. That's my key. Yeah, that's my key. I can worship God now. No! It's in our heart. Oh, yes. It's in our heart. I'm so glad he was constantly reminding me. Now, I wasn't saying anything to anybody, but he was saying, Will, I'm telling you, you ain't using this piano today. Leave it alone. Give it up. Because this whole morning is an illustration as to how I want my people to just cling to me. I want them in my presence. I don't want them to bring me to them. I want them to come to me. So I'm removing the screens, the hindrances, all the things that we've come to enjoy here at Impact. And it's just going to be me and them. And I say, okay, God, use me. Okay, God. Why? Because in his presence is fullness of joy. David yearned to stay in the presence of God. Even when he failed God in his own eyes, how about you? Do you yearn to be in the presence of God? Now, I'm going to be real honest here. We've made Christianity so much about us. Technically speaking, it's soulish. What that means is it gratifies our soul. It gratifies our emotions. It gratifies our psyche. But what about the spirit of man? We've made it so much about us. Bless me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Free me, Lord. Me, Lord. We've made Christianity so much about God meeting our need. We've made it so much about us being blessed. I was just listening to some gospel music the other day, and I had to turn it off. And it wasn't because the songs were bad. They were just so me-centric. They were just focused on me. I'm blessed, and even if I ain't blessed, I'm in some mess that I need God to deliver me from, but I ain't letting it hold me back because I'm strong in the Lord. And it's just me, 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 I. And I say, where is the presence of God? Where is his presence? We've made Christianity so much about God giving us strength to make it through another day and oh, God showing up in my circumstances, and I know it's going to be greater later and the best is yet to come. Where is his presence? Are we before him? Now, many of us have failed to realize that these very things that I'm talking about, they're not negative in themselves. They're actually byproducts of being in his presence. As you are in his presence, blessings will flow. As you are in his presence, you will gain his wisdom. As you are in his presence, you will gain understanding. As you are in his presence, he will walk you down the paths of life. As you are in his presence, they're all byproducts of being in his presence. Some people focus on the byproducts, and they miss the intimacy with God. See, when we are in his presence, all of our needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? When we are in his presence, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? When we are in his presence, God moves heaven and earth on our behalf. When we are in his presence. Oh, I hope you can get into his presence today. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I'll let you know what that means. Because some of you said, Pastor Will, I'm in his presence. I know God. No, knowing God isn't in his presence. You have a knowledge of him. Are you before him? Are you laid out, spread out before your maker and your king? Are you honoring and reverencing him in every aspect of life, not desiring to do anything but be with him before you do everything? In his presence, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. What's interesting, when Jackie and I go anywhere and we go for an extended time, some of you know, we go through this routine of things that we do. Oftentimes we'll maybe connect with somebody and ask them to pick up the mail when the mail comes, so that, you know, the mail isn't stacking up, and we'll ask, you know, somebody to take care of the garbage bins, because, you know, they have to go out every week at a certain day, and so we'll start talking about, you know, who can we ask to do such and such and such, and take care of that, and then just before we leave, I go through this little routine. I'll go in our master bedroom, and I'll turn on the light. Then I'll go in the hall and I'll turn on a light and I'll open the doors to each of the rooms that connect to the hall. And then in the dining room, I'll turn on a light, because you can see that from both the kitchen and the living room. And the reason I do that is because at nighttime, when somebody goes by, I want them to think somebody is there. Somebody's in the home, somebody's there. What do people see in your life that represents Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there? What light do you display? What are they seeing in you that says, yes, Jehovah Shema? They may not say Jehovah Shema, but the Lord is there. There's something about he or she. The Lord is there. Can it be said of you that the Lord is there? Can it be said of you? In fact, in our Bible study, we just discovered in the book of John that Jesus said, you are not of the world, and the world is going to hate you because you are not of the world. And we were discussing the fact that if we are friends with the world and people can't distinguish us from the world, or distinguish our behavior from worldly behavior, something is wrong. Because Jesus says, the world don't listen to me. It doesn't hear me. In fact, it hates me. But you listen to me. My sheep know my voice. They hear me. And there has to be a difference. There has to be. We can't just assimilate and be so worldly that people don't know the Lord is there. Oh, glory to God. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. So how do we get in His presence? We've been talking about that. How do we get in His presence? And I want to say by pulling away from everything and everyone and worshiping God. From pulling away from everything and everyone and worshiping God. Turn with me to the book of the Revelation, and I'm going to give you an opportunity for those of you who have your electronic Bibles. You can turn there. If you have a paper Bible, you can go ahead and turn there, because there's, in concluding this message, there's two passages of Scripture that we're going to go to, and I want you to find that in your Bible. I want you to find it in your electronic Bible. And we're going to look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Some of you know that that's the last book of the Bible. After Revelation comes concordance and maps, depending on the kind of Bible that you have. So here in Revelation chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from the New King James, Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 6. We're going to start at verse 6. And we know that this book of the Revelation was also written by John the Apostle, who wrote the book of John. He also wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, right? And here in the book of the Revelation, he's caught up to heaven and he sees these visions, or a vision. That's what it is. That's why it's called the Revelation. He receives this revelation. That's why the book is titled Revelation in its English. It's the Apocalypse in its Greek. So it says this, Revelation, singular, chapter 4, verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass. Now he's in the throne of God, right? At the throne, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne, there were what? Four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. Wow, what a sight. Literally, pun intended. Verse 7, the first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Verse 8, and the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying what? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Many people associate these beings with seraphim, because seraphim are worshiping before the Lord constantly. And here, they're worshiping. And look at what verse 9 says. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 what? Elders, what do? They fall down before Him who sits on the throne and does what? Worship Him. They worship Him. See, this is being in His presence, where we come and there are no distractions, and we say, Lord, it's just all about You. It's all about You. And look at what they do. It says that they who sit on the throne lives forever, and the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they do what? Cast their crowns before the Lord, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Pastor Will, how can I get in the presence of the Lord? How can I be in His presence? Turn off the television. Turn off the radio. Turn off the phone. Turn off the tablet. Turn off the computer. turn off all of the distractions and go before him, not asking for anything, but worshiping him. Use this as an example. Yeah, you can turn the phone off now too. Use it. Use this particular passage in the book of the Revelation as a guide, if you will. In other words, you could say, okay, Pastor Will said that I need to get away from everything and turn off all distractions. Okay, here I am. So what do I say? Well, this is what you do. You say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Your glory, your power, your strength is unfathomable. You are my God. You are my King. I worship you today. I say that you are the God of my house. You are the God of my circumstances. You are the God of my marriage. You are the God of my singleness. You are the God of my education. You are the God of my vocation. I see you as above all things. Everybody got that? You see, what you're doing is you're before his presence. You're saying, God, I don't need anything. I just want to tell you how good you are. Oh, yes. I just want to tell you. I just call to say, some of you know this, I love you. So we just want to go in his presence and just be there. Just be there. Just be there. Why? In his presence is fullness of joy. And I'll tell you this, as we experience being in his presence, he becomes Jehovah Shammah to us. People begin to realize the Lord is there. Oh, glory to God. Oh, yeah, give the Lord a hand, praise. Some people, oh, I want to see the signs and the wonders. I want to see the miracles. I want to see God doing great things in my life. I want to see him doing great things in my sphere of influence. I want to be used by God. Get in his presence in a consistent way. Let me just say it this way. Salvation is taken care of by Jesus Christ. I'm not saying get saved again. What I'm saying is get in God's presence. Don't accept mediocrity in your walk with the Lord. Don't accept just existing as a believer and one of these days going to heaven or going to glory whenever we leave here. Don't accept that. I want to encourage you, yearn to be in his presence and do it. I'm amazed sometimes when I look at the face of Christendom nowadays, and very rarely, you all know, I don't bash Christians or pastors or churches. I'm amazed sometimes when I look at the complacency that exists in some people's walk. I'm amazed sometimes when they crack the Bible very rarely, where they have good prayer time very rarely. Now, they may go to church, and sometimes they think that is being in the presence of God, because in some cases, people project the presence of God as only being at the church or only being around the altar. Let me help you understand. You can be in the presence of God right in your home. You can be in the presence of God in your car. Have you ever been in the presence of God and you know that God is with you? It's as if he's riding right alongside of you and a hallelujah comes out of your mouth or praise the Lord comes out of your mouth. You don't have to be in church for that to happen. Glory to God. In his presence. Don't wait. Oh, I can't wait to get to church. Do not be in the presence of God. Well, that might be true, but you don't have to wait to get to church to experience the presence of God. See, you and I can enter that place of worship. You and I can. And I'm going to look at our last passage of scripture. Look at Hebrews. I want you to turn there in your Bible. Turn there in your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10, because it shows us that we don't have to wait to be at church, if you will. We don't have to wait for some experience to happen so we can say, oh, yeah, wasn't the presence of the Lord there? Yeah, well, he is everywhere, right? Why don't we desire to be with him regularly? I want to say it this way. Some people are they're churchaholics. What that means is they're going to churches and conferences trying to find the presence of the Lord. Oh, the presence of the Lord is here. Oh, the presence of the Lord is there. Oh, the Lord was really there. Oh, the Holy Ghost is moving there. Oh, yeah, that may be true, but you don't have to become a churchaholic to try to find the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is available to you wherever you are. Let me let you know that. It's soulish in many cases. What that means is it's gratifying my emotions. I'm having this great emotional experience, and I love a great emotional experience. In fact, you know what? I am so looking forward to us having some musicians in that, right? And so I want to do an old time, you know, where you just going back and you know, you might get your shout on, you know, and I'm looking forward to that. I am. But I can only do so much, amen. but don't think that we don't have that in our body, in our church. Oh yeah. And maybe, I don't know, I might get Joe on the drums. Maybe we might do somebody else on the drum, you know what I mean? And it just be piano and drums, and we just have a good old Holy Ghost time, amen. Because we love that emotional experience, but let me help you understand, that alone will not keep you. That alone will not keep you. It'll come and it will go. That's why people start going from place to place to place, trying to find that emotional experience and wanting to stay there. God says, yeah, I am in that emotional experience. Don't discount it, but I want you to get in my presence yourself. You don't need an organ. Don't need a praise team. Don't need a hooping pastor. You guys know I don't hoop. I'm not against it. You know what? I love a good hooping pastor. A pastor that's like sharing the word, and it's the word, you know what I mean? And then the Lord said, and it is right on, because I can say amen to that, amen. And I love it. I love that emotional experience. We all do for the most part. But don't let that be your quest. Let his presence be your quest. Oh, I hope the Lord is speaking to you today. Let his presence be your quest. Lord, I just want to lay before you. My wife will tell you that there are times I get up very early in the morning. And here lately, for this whole month, it's been like 3-4 in the morning. And I'll just get in his presence. Let me say, if you have a sleepless night, that's the time to get in his presence. When you wake up and I just can't go back to sleep, that's the time to say, okay. Because during those wee hours, usually everything is pretty quiet. Cars stop going on the street as frequently. People aren't walking around, things aren't, and you can be in the presence of God right there in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in your den, in your high chair, in your low chair, on the throne, whatever it is, you can be right there in the presence of God. Let me toss and turn. So if you toss and turn, I want to let you know you might be missing opportunities to get into the presence of God. So what I learned earlier on, and very rarely do I say I learned something, but this is one thing I did learn. I learned earlier on, if I toss and turn, I'll toss and turn. But if I get up and I spend time in the presence of the Lord, guess what happens? I'll get up and I'll enjoy him so that I'll go back to bed and I'll sleep. In fact, I have to set my alarm because I sleep so good that I have to set my alarm to get up at the appropriate time. And there are times that I never went back to sleep. But you know what? God gave me such energy that day. It wasn't like, oh, man, I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I haven't been to bed since. I haven't gotten any sleep. See, some people brag. That's your flesh bragging on that stuff. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Joe said, you know, there's times that we look at negative situations and they become our stories. Oh, you know, the community center, as soon as we got there, nobody opened the door. We stayed out there. And don't let that be your story today. Hallelujah. Don't let that be your story today. Let your story be, God is so awesome. that he shut the whole community center down for everybody involved so we can hear a message just about drawing close to his presence. That's how awesome our God is. Woo! Glory to God. Because he's sovereign. He's sovereign. Let's look at that last passage of scripture. You and I can enter into that place of worship. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at what it says here. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. I'm going to read down to verse 25. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter what? Heaven's most holy place. Well, didn't we just read about them being before the throne and they were casting their crowns and they were saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And so the writer of Hebrews said, hey, you can enter into that place because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus died for you and for me, tearing that partition, that wall that existed between the Holy of Holies and the holy place where the high priest would go. When Christ died for our sins, the veil in the temple was torn and we no longer needed a high priest because Christ was our, or he became our high priest, and he took away the division, the thing that separated us from being able to go into that holy place with God. Verse 20, by his death, Jesus opened a new and what? Life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Verse 21 says, and since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into where? The presence of God. Oh, look at that there. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Do you see that in your Bible? That's all right. We're in Hebrews chapter 10, and it may read just a little different. We're reading from verse 19 to verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10. It might read a little different in your Bible, but that's all right, because it's all about his presence. Amen. And no matter what translation be, the NIV, the NCV, the GW, God's Word, the New King James, the King James, the American Standard, no matter what it is, they're talking about us being able to go in the presence of God ourselves. Verse 22, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Everybody see that there? Because one of the things that stops us psychologically as well as theologically is sin. Sin theologically would stop us from moving or going into the presence of God. What the writer of Hebrews is saying, sin no longer stops us through the blood of Jesus. You and I have access to the throne room. Well, that second thing is the guilt from sin that we often feel. Oh, I can't go to God because I just did such and such and such. Well, the writer said, no, no, no. That's taken care of. See, he says, for our guilty consciences. See, everybody see that there? Have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Don't let those things stop you from moving into the presence of God. And I like what verse 23 says. Let us hold tightly. The King James says, let us hold fast without wavering to the hope we have, to our confession. For God can be trusted to keep his promise, right? And look at verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That's the New Century Version. The King James says, and forsake not the assembling of yourselves as some do. What he's saying is, don't not go to church. That's what he's saying. He's saying, don't not be there. Because as you are there, you will gain insight, you will gain understanding, and you will encourage one another, because these days are evil and we need to encourage one another. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. I pray that that would be known of you. Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. Why? Because you are in his presence regularly. That you set aside time throughout your day or night, or days and nights. You set aside time to go before him and say, God, I'm just here to appreciate you. I'm just here to say you are my God. I'm just here to love you. You've loved me so much. I'm just here to worship you. You are my King, the King of glory, the lifter of my head. If you need some help, there's some great songs out there. How great is our God? How great is our God? See, those kinds of songs can help you during that time when you're in his presence. Just be there. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. He knows you're just there communing with him in spirit. Make time. Don't set aside time. We use that term, make time. Schedule. Let me say it that way. Schedule time to spend with God in his presence. See, when these connections are made by us, see, then we can truly say Jehovah Shema. We can truly say the Lord is there. Is the Lord, is Jehovah Shema in your home? Is Jehovah Shema in your life? Is the Lord there? Is the Lord there? Is the Lord there? Not just the knowledge of him. See, I believe Jehovah Shema was what Joshua was referring to when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? The Lord is there. The Lord is there. Is the Lord in your marriage? In your singleness? In your parenting and in you being a child? Is he in your social life? Your what do you tweet? What do you post? Is Jehovah Shema? Is the Lord there? Oh, I know I'm getting personal, but you know what? We are to shine as lights. I'll conclude by saying this. Jesus told his disciples that you don't light a light or light a lamp and set it under a bush. You don't. He says what you do is you set it on a hill so the whole city can see the light on the hill. He says, as such, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there.